Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 19, Lord Vamanadeva begs charity from Bali Maharaj, and we'll read the summary, and then the first text actually has a purport, I believe. Nope, it doesn't. Anyhow, we'll read text 2. The 19th chapter describes how Lord Vamanadeva asked for 3 paces of land in charity, how Bali Maharaj agreed to his proposal, and how Shukadeva forbade Bali Maharaj to fulfill Lord Vamanadeva's request. When Bali Maharaj, thinking Vamanadeva to be the son of a brahmana, told him to ask for anything he liked, Lord Vamanadeva praised Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha for their heroic activities. And after thus praising the family in which Bali Maharaj had been born, he begged the king for 3 paces of land. Bali Maharaj agreed to give this land in charity, since this was very insignificant. But Shukracharya, who could understand that Vamanadeva was Vishnu, the friend of the demigods, forbade Bali Maharaj to give this land. Shukracharya advised Bali Maharaj to withdraw his promise. He explained that in subduing others, in joking, in responding to danger, in acting for the welfare of others, and so on, one could refuse to fulfill one's promise, and there would be no fault. By this philosophy, Shukracharya tried to dissuade Bali Maharaj from giving land to Lord Vamanadeva. Translation for the first text. Shukadeva Goswami continued, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, heard Bali Maharaj speaking in this pleasing way, he was very satisfied. For Bali Maharaj had spoken in terms of religious principles, thus the Lord began to praise him. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Vachastavaita Janadeva Sunritam Kulochitam Dharma Yutam Yashaskaram Samparaye Vitamaha Kula Vrida Prasantaha. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Vachaha, words. Tava, your, etat, this kind of, Janadeva, O king of the people, Sunritam, very true, Kula Uchitam, exactly befitting your dynasty, Dharma Yutam, completely in accord with the principles of religion, Yasha Karam, fit for spreading your reputation. Yasya, of whom? Pramanam, the evidence. Brigava, the brahmanas of the Brigu dynasty. Samparaye, in the next world. Pitamaha, your grandfather, Kulavrida, the oldest in the family, Prasantaha, very peaceful, Prahlad Maharaj. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O King, you are indeed exalted because your present advisors are brahmanas or descendants of Bhrigu, and because your instructor for your future life is your grandfather, the peaceful and venerable Prahlad Maharaj. Your Your statements are very true, and they completely agree with the religious etiquette. They are in keeping with the behavior of your family and enhance your reputation. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj is a vivid example of a pure devotee. Someone might argue that since Prahlad Maharaj, even though very old, was attached to his family, and specifically to his grandson, Bali Maharaj, how could he be an ideal example? Therefore, this verse uses the word prasanta. A devotee is always sober. He is never disturbed by any conditions. Even if a devotee remains in grihastha life and does not renounce material possessions, he should still be understood to be prasanta, sober, because of his pure devotion to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore said, Kiva vipra kiva nasi shudra kena nai ye krishna tattva veda se guru hoy. Whether one is a brahmana, a sannyasi, or a shudra, regardless of what he is, he can become a spiritual master if he knows the science of Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 8:128. Anyone completely aware of the science of Krishna, regardless of his status in life, is a guru. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj is a guru in all circumstances. Here, his lordship, Vamanadeva, also teaches sannyasis and brahmacharis that one should not ask more than necessary. He wanted only 3 paces of land, although Bali Maharaj wanted to give him anything he wanted. 2 things are explained here. One is about charya. Charya means one who's actually guru in any circumstance. One who's actually situated on the spiritual platform of consciousness, then he's actually guru for everyone. And the other point made here is that one should not desire more than one needs. Vamanadeva had the opportunity to ask anything from Bali Maharaj, but he only asked for 3 steps of land. Of course, big steps. In any case, it's an example of what you should ask for. How big your step is another thing. Now, as far as the first point goes, there are so many different teachers we have. Of course, in the modern culture, most of the teachers, so-called teachers, are cheaters. Cheaters in the sense Prabhupada used to emphasize when he was talking to so-called important persons, or actually important persons in society. For instance, one Indian gentleman, professor at the University of Hinduism, came to see Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada asked this professor of Hinduism, asked Srila Prabhupada, "Dear Swamiji, can you tell me what Hinduism means?" So Prabhupada turned to Srup Damodar Maharaj. He wasn't a Maharaj at that time, but he was a PhD in chemistry. And he said, "This man, he's a professor of Hinduism at a big university in America, and he's asking me, what is the definition of Hinduism? So, what do you think of that, Srup Damodar?" So Srup Damodar said, "He's a cheater, Prabhupada. He's a cheater. He's teaching Hinduism, but he doesn't know what it means. How can you teach something you don't know what the definition is? You must be a cheater." Similarly, practically most of the so-called education goes on nowadays where the teacher doesn't know anything and the students know less. And the people who don't attend school, they know more than they do. Or they know less of what's wrong, which means that they know more. Everyone goes, for instance, there's a difference between vidya, real knowledge is to know our identity. As I mentioned the other day, in the schools in America, they're putting kitten litter in the bathrooms of the students at the high schools or at schools. The idea is that some students now identify themselves as cats. So in order to give them a place in the restroom, they put kitten litter in the restroom. So they have a place to relieve themselves. Now, if someone thinks they're a cat, they're in trouble, especially if they're not a cat. Of course, we think ourselves to be this body also, but we're not this body, but at least we can probably identify it as a human body, which is probably more accurate than thinking we have a cat body. And even more profound than that is to know whether we're a man or a woman. It's getting really deep. And to know approximately how tall we are, where we came from. These things, this kind of knowledge is becoming rare in modern society. So therefore, instead of vidya, people are falling more and more deeply into avidya, or asmita, false ego. A false ego, a wrong conception of who one actually is. Anything other than dasa, dasa, anudasa, the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. It's a wrong understanding. It's just incorrect because we're not this body. Now I may not know what my identity is. As a matter of fact, I probably don't know what my identity is, but at least I should know what my identity isn't, namely this body or any other mental concoction I may come up with. So there are so many so-called teachers who are actually cheaters, and they're not qualified as really even the label of guru or teacher, like Sananda Anamarika, the teachers of Prahlad Maharaj, although they were actually teaching the Vedic culture to some extent, the Vedic literature. But ultimately, they're not considered to be really good teachers because they were against Vishnu. They were servants of Hiranyakashipu. But amongst those who are actually teaching real knowledge, it is not, for instance, Gurur na sasyat, Pita na sasyat, Swajano na sasyat, Daivam na sasyat, Namochita yaksum peti mrityor. That one should not be guru nasyasya. One should not become a guru. Guru swajano nasyasya. Guru nasyasya swajano nasyasya. One should not become a relative. Pita nasyasya. One should not become a father or a mother or a worshipful deity or a husband unless one is has the ability to free their follower from the cycle of birth and death. So it's not that every father and mother in the Vedic culture was a Uttama Adhikari, Mahabhagavat, perfectly fixed up devotee, but they knew what the purpose of life was. The gurus knew that in the Gurukul, like Sandipani Muni, he trained his disciples, at least in the Vedic arts, which he trained Krishna and Balaram. Similarly, generally in the Gurukul, one learned, for instance, Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandanta Gurur Hitam, Achavan Vasavan Nicho, Guru Sorida Saurida. One learns some basic principles of consciousness, of purifying one's consciousness, which prepare one for the Krishna consciousness. Unless one is situated in the mode of goodness, then there's no question of actually experiencing Krishna. If our eyes are covered by the clouds of Anartha and Aparas, then there's no question of seeing the sun of Krishna consciousness. So one has to prepare the sky of one's consciousness so that it becomes clear, and then one can perceive Krishna. It is not that we're going to change or Krishna is going to change, but we have to change our consciousness by changing. Well, if our consciousness changes, then Krishna will take away the clouds of avidya, aparad, and avidya. Krishna says that tesham eva nukamparatam ahama jnana jam tamaha na shamyam vavashto jnana dipen bashvata. Out of compassion for them, I dwell in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So we have to get Krishna's compassion. So how do we get Krishna's compassion? How do we make Krishna compassionate to us? Do we cry? Oh Krishna, I'm suffering, help me. Yeah, Krishna will help to a certain extent. But generally speaking, we don't know what to ask for, even when we're crying for Krishna for helping. Like one man was walking along his job was to pull boats. He was a boat driver on the Ganges. So coming down where the current is flowing is very easy. The current flows and your boat goes and it's very hard. But to come back, you have to drag the boat along the river against the current, and it's a struggle. So he was praying to Krishna, please Krishna, help me, help me. So Krishna came and said, what can I do for you? Can you put some pillows on the ground so that when I walk and I'm dragging the boat back, then I won't have to step on all these rocks, I can step on pillows? No problem. So asking Krishna for material things is just like asking for pillows on our walk back up the Ganges. Or that lady who was in the forest carrying a very heavy load of sticks on her head, and the sticks fell off. In great anxiety, she called out, hey, Gopal, help me. And she was so sincere that Gopal personally came to help her. And he said, yes, what can I do for you? My dear Gopal, all these sticks have fallen on the ground. There's no one in the forest who can pick them up for me. Can you please pick them up and put them back on my head? No problem. So Krishna picked up the sticks and put them on her head and then disappeared. It's like going to a multi-billionaire asking for 50 cents. He could have asked for love of God. She could have asked for liberation to the spiritual world, but she asked that Krishna put the heavy load of sticks back on her head. So one should know what actual knowledge is, otherwise then one will get asked for something which is not very, very helpful, not very beneficial. So therefore a teacher should know what the goal is. And teacher means, for instance, in the Vedic the mothers were the teachers of their children. Who else was teaching the children before they went to Gurukul? The father and mother are the main teachers. So they should know what the goal is. Not that the child is born and they spent the whole time going goo 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 goo. Putting nonsense into the child's head. So when he grows up, they ask him, what's the highest goal of life? Hare Krishna. And he goes, goo 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 goo. That's what I learned. The parents should know. The father should, the husband should know to help the wife. The teacher should know. The people who are in important positions in society should know what the goal of life is. And it's not to hit some ball over a net or to put a ball into a net, or to hit a ball into a hole. That's not the goal of life. They're famous not because they reveal the truth, but because they're expert. They're almost the same height as the basket, and they just put the ball into the hole. And they're glorified as a great personality. Because they were born as a giant. Therefore, they're Mahajan. Now, once you know what the goal of life is, as it says here, Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh. One who actually knows the goal of life automatically becomes the teacher. What degree of a teacher one becomes depends upon how much one knows the goal of life. If someone knows more than I do, then they should be my teacher. Otherwise, I won't take advantage of their association. What's that? Then I won't be able to take advantage of their association. Nor can I give people properly, help them. For my association, giving my association, not my association, Krishna's association. Therefore, one has to have some discrimination who's on what level of Krishna consciousness. At least, if I can't see who's a Mahabhagavat or who's actually liberated, I should at least be able to see who's better than I am, who's more advanced than I am, and how they're more advanced than I am. Not that they have a beautiful, I like their singing, it reminds me of Mick Jagger or something. That won't help me very much. We should know what qualities, devotional qualities they have more than I do, so that I can learn from them how to develop at least to the level of devotional qualities that they have. And if I don't know what a devotional quality is, I should read Bhagavad Gita at least to find out. Amadidvam, Adambidvam, Ahimsa, Shanti, Arjavam. In the 13th chapter, Krishna talks about 19 different devotional qualities to cultivate. So if someone has those qualities, then I should take them as my teacher. And therefore this, giving this word Prabhu, because now sometimes in some places, the ladies don't like the word Prabhu. It's controversial. Why only the men are Prabhus? The ladies should also be Prabhu. That I shouldn't be Mataji. I don't like children. Anyhow, whatever the terminology we want to use, it's not very significant. The real problem is that everyone wants to be a master. And we don't like terms that don't designate me as the master. That's all. I want everyone to call me Prabhu, but I don't want to call anyone else Prabhu. I do it as a matter of etiquette, so they don't feel bad, so they understand who's the real master. But the real point is that without developing this attitude of a servant, then I can't learn anything. I can't learn anything. If I'm the teacher and I know everything, who am I going to learn from? Who can teach me? Even Krishna comes personally to teach me, I won't accept it. I think, well, Krishna, you and myself were practically equal. You're the master God and I'm the servant God. But with both God. Without this service attitude, it's impossible to learn anything. Even in the spiritual world, Srimati Radharani, she has her teacher. Does anyone know who her guru is in the spiritual world? Did anyone know that Srimati Radharani has a guru? What's that? Yeah, Lalita is her guru. And who's Lalita's guru? Who's everyone's guru in the spiritual world? No. Krishna is just a coward boy. Purnamasi. Yes, Purnamasi. She's everyone's guru there. Krishna, he's the son of Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj. And their guru is, everyone's guru is Purnamasi. They always follow Purnamasi. Anyhow, everyone has a teacher. Purnamasi, of course, only her only desire is to see Krishna happy. Radha and Krishna happy. In any case, therefore, she is the ultimate teacher. Similarly, everyone in the spiritual world has the same desire. Because Chandavali is, she wants to make Krishna happy. I don't know if she wants Krishna to be with Radharani so much. That's another rasa. In any case, everyone needs a teacher, as Prabhupada writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, unless we can see anyone who thinks that they're above consulting with anyone, including a spiritual master, then at once is fallen. So that doesn't mean that every spiritual master that we have, everyone we take as a Shiksha Guru or a Diksha Guru, is necessarily on the topmost level, but at least they're better than we are. We have something to learn from them. And if we serve them, that we serve their instructions, then the result is that we'll develop the same good qualities that they have and make advancement towards our relationship with Krishna. And when we come in contact with Krishna and with his associates, we don't become the Lord, we become more of a servant. We're not trying to develop the qualities of becoming the biggest Lord, we're trying to become the quality of becoming the best servant we can. And no one in the spiritual world is embarrassed by being a servant. If someone says, if someone asks someone in the spiritual world, what do you do for a living? Well, I'm a servant of Krishna and his devotees. No one says, oh, I'm so sorry. I guess you never went to school. No, I never did. They just put me in charge of the cows. That's all I did. But no one's embarrassed because it's ecstatic. Everyone's in the highest ecstasy. Whether one is a deer in the forest or one is a flower on a tree, everyone is ecstatic, simply trying to serve Radha and Krishna. And by doing so, they experience the highest ecstasy of their loving exchanges between Radha and Krishna. And they become the most important. Everyone in the spiritual world is the most important, because they're reflecting the love of Radha and Krishna through their own experience. Therefore, no one thinks, oh, you're just a flower. Why don't you bloom somewhere else? No, everyone has the highest respect for everyone in the spiritual world, because they're all reflecting love of Radha and Krishna. And therefore, that reflection is actually pleasing to Radha and Krishna and makes them more loving and ecstatic. So it's one big family in the spiritual world, seemingly increasing everyone's love and devotion. And therefore, everyone is guru in the spiritual world, in the sense that everyone is teaching each other how to love Radha and Krishna more. But here, there are different degrees of understanding and accepting. And only if one actually comes to the platform of pure devotion and therefore becomes a pure devotee, then he becomes a servant of everyone and can teach everyone how to become a servant of the disciple succession of all the devotees. And therefore, they're actually guru. Not because they're trying to exploit or lord it over everyone, it's because they're trying to help everyone develop their love for Radha and Krishna and all the devotees. They think themselves to be the servant of all the devotees. As Srila Prabhupada said, that a spiritual master, one who's initiated, or giving initiation, or even a Shiksha Guru, he knows that he can't say anything unless the super soul within his heart tells him what to say. He is not independent. And if he's has a bona fide spiritual master in disciple succession, then the super soul will remind him what his spiritual master has told him or has said. And therefore, when he gives instructions, repeating what his spiritual master has told him, when his followers follow those instructions and serve those instructions, then he learns from them how to become a better servant of his spiritual master. And therefore, in some sense, he takes even his followers and disciples as guru. So that's the main qualification. For anyone, shiksha or diksha guru, to become guru, not to think that I'm giving instructions apart from what Krishna is telling me, and Krishna is telling me what my spiritual master has told me in this simple succession, and therefore when I repeat those messages, it's not my messages, it's Krishna's message. It's my spiritual master's message, and anyone who serves those messages can help me learn how to become a better servant of my spiritual master in Krishna. So that's how everyone should think. And therefore one will remain the servant of Krishna's servants in any circumstance. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments?
Thank you, Hare Krishna. Thank you, Guru Maharaj. I was wondering, how could Shukracharya advise and forbade Bali Maharaj to give those 3 steps of land, if actually he knew that Vamana Devi is actually Vishnu, Lord Vishnu?
Because he didn't want to give up the 3 steps of land. Yeah, well, look at ourselves. I mean, we're criticizing Shukracharya, who happens to be in the planetary systems. He's in charge of Venus, the planet called Venus. He's the king, he's the head priest of all the demons in the universe. So he's a little attached. When you're a little attached, you don't have full intelligence. So he knew that Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he was also attached because Bali Maharaj was maintaining his family. And he knew if Bali Maharaj gave everything to Vishnu, he'd be out of a job. And he wasn't so sure if Vishnu was going to hire him. So he's a little attached. He lost his intelligence. Of course, later on we see his relation with Krishna is not ordinary. To have Vamanadeva Vishnu appear before you, and even if you make a mistake, you must be a pretty exalted personality. So he's just trying to get around it. It's Krishna's pastime. After all, if Shukracharya didn't do that, there wouldn't be any pastime with Vamanadeva. So this is how Krishna arranges it. They're demons. They're not 100% pure devotees, and most of the demigods aren't either. So sometimes they make mistakes, like Indra or even Brahma makes mistakes. So Shukracharya made a slight mistake. But that's part of Krishna's pastime. But he's not an ordinary person either, Shukracharya.
Thank you. Avadhuta Roy Prabhu has a question. Among those dedicated to contemplation of spiritual matters, Muni Nam, I am Vyasa Bada Rayana, since he has the excellence of being my avatara, unlike other munis. Among those who discern the subtle meaning of things, I am Shukra Ushanas, who is known as Kavi. Bhagavad Gita 10:37. Question: is not Vyasa better than Shukracharya in discerning the subtle meaning of things?
I don't know if that's the verse in Bhagavad Gita. Is which verse is he?
10:37.
Rishinam Vasudevasmi Devananam Dhananjaya Muninap Apyaham Vyasa Ushana Kavi. It just says he also mentions Vyasadeva right before that. Of all the sages, it says, Vrishninam, of all the Vrishnis, I am Vasudeva. Of all the Pandavas, I am Arjuna. Of all the sages, I am Vyas. Among learned thinkers, I am Vyasadeva. So Vyasadeva is above. Learned thinkers is not the goal of life. Love for Krishna is the goal of life. Above The gopis are not noted for their scholarship. They're noted for their love for Krishna. So therefore, above knowledge, because knowledge winds up, we're not this body, and something about Krishna being God. Bhavanam jamanam ante, gyanamam prapadite, vasudeva sarvamiti, saramahatma sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, one who actually has knowledge surrenders to me, knowing me to be the source of everything. After many births and deaths, one who actually has knowledge of me surrenders and knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that be. Such a great soul is very rare. So the goal is not knowledge, the goal is love. So Vyasadeva was a great devotee of Krishna, not just a very learned person. Learned knowledge means we're not this body and Vishnu or Krishna is God. But beyond that is to love Krishna, which is higher than that. Just like you may know everything about the president, but if you have a personal relationship with him, you're part of his family, it's more important than you really know the president.
Thank you.
Anything else? Hvala. Granta Rashi Madhvagavatam Ki Jai.